Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter. At 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. This is a special edition of the Insight Segment as we kick off a week-long career boot camp series. We're helping you to get your career in shape. Joining me all week for this conversation is our partner, Deborah T. Owens, founder and CEO of the corporate Alley Cat. Deborah is a seasoned professional who has worked at Fortune 500 companies, and she now uses her skills to help others navigate the murky career waters.
Thanks, Harold. It is great to be with you and to help partner and to partner with WHUR to launch this important discussion, the Career Boot Camp. So whether you are just beginning to climb the corporate ladder or you're trying to shatter that glass ceiling, all week we are going to bring you some of the best and brightest minds in career development to get you on the right track and, more importantly, to keep you on the right track.
Tonight's discussion is focusing on strategic relationships. We all know it's not always about what you know, but who you know. And frankly, who knows you is essential. My guests tonight are Dr. Carrie Ann Hamilton, Senior Vice President and Brand Practice Leader with GMMB, a PR creative agency in Washington. Also, Dr. Vanessa Weaver, CEO of Alignment Strategies. If you have a question, if you have a comment, give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Thank you all for coming in. I appreciate it.
Great to be here.
Let's talk first of all about these strategic relationships, alliances. What is it?
So I think a strategic relationship is something that is intentional, it's long-term, and you have to be comfortable leveraging them. And I know people get weird about that because they're like, I don't want to ask people for things. But a strategic relationship is a deep relationship where you have something to contribute to the relationship and so does the other person. But the most important thing I want to emphasize, Harold, is it is intentional and it is long-term. You don't build relationships, strategic relationships, overnight.
How do you do that, Carrie Ann?
So there are a couple of things. I think when people think about strategic relationships, they're thinking, wow, everything that you just said, it takes intention. They need to be deep. They're long-term. They may feel nervous. But really thinking about strategic relationships fundamentally as human relationships, they're between two people. What do you have in common? Where are their points of interest? Do you share a value system? Do you have hobbies in common? So finding that thing that brings you together and then thinking about how can you leverage that relationship, but not just in a one-directional way, not just what can that person do for me, but how can we reciprocate that relationship and have it be two-way?
Yeah, I think that's really important. It is a two-way relationship, but a strategic relationship is a relationship that you have to leverage. So if I have a relationship with Carrie Ann, then if Carrie Ann needs something from me or if I can support her and she gives me a buzz and says, hey, listen, I am going for this promotion. Would you put in a good word for me? I'm happy to do that because we built this relationship over the last 4 or 5 years. Vice versa, if I want to leverage my relationship with Carrie Ann, I have to be comfortable saying, hey, Carrie Ann, I've got this big project I'm working on. I'm not sure where to start. You're an expert in this field. Can I come over to your office, spend a few minutes with you, and can you give me your honest perspective on it? You've got to leverage it. And one of the things that I find with our corporate Alley Cat audience as professionals of color, we will not leverage the relationships that we have to ask for help. And the last thing I want to say is, oftentimes people feel like strategic relationships or building relationships are outside of your job. Building strategic relationships, that is a critical part of your job. So if you think that's extra work, then you are missing the point.
Well, Dr. Weaver, what's the downside of trying to develop these strategic relationships?
is everyone that you approach to develop those relationships going to want to have a relationship with you?
Well, first of all, I don't see a lot of downside for developing strategic relationships. I think they're critical, as my colleagues have said. But what I do know in the work that we do with multicultural individuals, particularly African-American, Black, and Latina individuals, that we are uncomfortable developing these relationships. And I think part of that is our own psychology in terms of wondering, you know, do we have the right and the privilege to really have these strategic relationships, because these strategic relationships typically are power relationships, and they tend to be relationships with people who are levels maybe higher than you. And those are levels, those are the kinds of relationships you need to help you navigate through this corporate or government. It's not just a corporate reality, but it could be federal government, it could be not-for-profit. And so it's about, how do I empower myself? How do I build enough confidence in myself to reach out and connect with people that may be different than me, or maybe that I have a fear that they're not going to be responsive to me or receptive to me? And so it becomes a hurdle that people of color have to figure out, how do they step up and across that hurdle.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is the first day of a week-long career boot camp that we are participating in with Corporate Alley Cat. We want to remind you that on Wednesday, there's going to be a special live broadcast of the Daily Drum at the City Winery at 1350 Oakey Street Northeast. That's inside the Old Love Nightclub. That'll be an opportunity for you to meet and to hear from our guests, some of the critical thinkers in corporate America right here in the D.C. area. So we certainly welcome you and invite you to come to this event. You can still register. There are still some spaces left. You can register online at WHUR.com. If you have a question or a comment tonight, you can give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. By the way, we're going to be talking about related issues tomorrow, of course, Wednesday during the live program, Thursday and Friday. I want to go back to something, Vanessa, however, when you're trying to establish these relationships, don't you have to have something to give in order to get?
Well, you always have something to give.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and we encourage our clients and people of color to think about, what are those unique elements that you bring to the party? Because you wouldn't be there if you didn't have something to give. So you have to try to figure out, what do I have? What am I doing? What project am I working on? What perspective do I have on the business or the organization that could be a value add to the leader?
Mm-hmm. But are they always the leader?
Well, one of the things I just want to throw in is, you want to have something to offer. But one of the other things that I see that people don't do enough of is, you've got to be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
It's okay if you don't have all the answers.
Yes.
It's okay if you don't know everything. Part of the problem why people can't build relationships is because they want everybody to think that they know everything. They don't have any, they don't need any help. They don't need any answers, that we're managing everything fine on our own. So I think you miss a lot of opportunities by not being vulnerable. And to your point, does it always have to be a leader? Absolutely not. You miss some great strategic relationships in the office or the cube right next to you. Listen, you're new to an organization. There is somebody that's sitting in the cube next to you that's been in the organization for 20 years. You want to have a relationship with that person, because that person's going to give you the ins and the out, the informal, the formal rules of the culture. They're going to tell you who you need to know, who you need to stay away from. And all of those things are critical to helping you get off to a fast start. So that's just one example. So don't ignore the people who are right next to you. And the other thing I want to encourage people to do is, oftentimes when you think about building these strategic relationships, people think that, you know, I've got to set up a formal appointment. I have to set up a formal appointment with the VP, and I've got to, mm-hmm. Carrie Ann's a senior VP, and I've got to get on her calendar. A lot of these relationships begin in a very informal way. I see Carrie Ann going to get coffee or maybe a bag of M&Ms every day at 3:00. Mm-hmm. I happen to run into her. Hey,
bag of M&Ms.
That's my favorite fruit.
There it is.
Okay. Hey. Right? So it can be as simple as, hey, Carrie Ann, you're going to get your M&Ms, right? Can I walk with you?
Yeah.
Sometimes forget about the titles. We're all humans, to Carrie Ann's point. So practice, you know, those light touches. Mm-hmm. Everything doesn't have to be so formal. Like, hey, Harold, you're looking pretty snazzy in that, you know, bracelet or whatever.
And in fact, you know, for senior executives, they prefer, to your point, a light touch, because people are coming at them all the time, with some type of strategy or some kind of formal way of trying to make this connection. So being able to connect at a really informal, individual, interpersonal level is really the secret sauce in all of this.
An entry point. Plain M&Ms, no peanuts.
And don't ask you for any when you get your bag, right? Yeah.
I like sharing.
You'll share. Yeah.
I'll share. But I think we make a really good point. It is not just, we think about these disparate roles or ranks when we think about networking. Peer networking is equally important. I remember transitioning from higher ed to an agency and being very new to this environment and working with my colleagues to express, oh, I'm interested in service. I'm interested in international development. It may fall outside my direct realm. I love biking. And so I got some of the best biking trails just talking to individuals about your passion. You connect on a human level. You share your interests. You listen. Listening is fundamental. You won't know where you can add value if you're not listening to hear, oh, where are their points of intersection? So peer mentoring is very important. The person right next to you, the person in line at Starbucks can add value. You could be talking to someone who, when you enter in the morning, it's a receptionist. She could add a lot of value. So you're building relationships across the organization. When something happens, you really want that person at the front desk to call you up and say, you know what, I saw this opportunity, or you know what, there are bagels. I realized that you didn't bring breakfast today when you walked in. You said, oh, you just woke up late. Whatever it is. So really leveraging those relationships at every level in the organization can really pay off.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about focusing on strategic relationships, alliances in the corporate world. All of this part of our discussion all week about Career Boot Camp, something you definitely want to participate. If you have a question, if you have a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Betty, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Betty. What's on your mind?
Thank you. Good evening. I'm enjoying the conversation. My issue is that I'm 50-plus. I lost my job 2 years ago because they were streamlining all of the middle and upper management for cost savings. I've been looking for jobs and I get wonderful interviews, but once they see that I'm 50 plus, very vibrant, still want to work, what suggestions do you have for individuals? I'm working for a senior agency making minimum wage. I was earning six figures. How and what do I do? What do I need to do to get back into the force?
Thank you so much, Betty.
Hey, Betty, this is Deborah Owens, and we actually get this question a lot at the Corporate Alley Cat. People are concerned about ageism. They feel that age is getting in the way. So one of the things I like to say is that if you are 50 plus, you have something that millennials don't have. You have a network. You have relationships that are out there. So what I encourage people to do is, who are the people who you work with who know about the quality of work that you do, who will vouch for you, who will bring you in and really advocate for you internally? One of the things I consistently find is that people are not reaching out to those folks who are right in front of them in their community. I don't know if it's because you don't want people to know that you got laid off, but there are people right there in your community. If they knew that you needed a job and if you have performed well in the past, they'd be happy to partner with you and advocate for you, but you've got to ask for help. And the other thing I see people do when they ask for help, they make it too difficult for others to help them.
What do you mean by that?
So let me tell you something I get every day. Hey, Debbie, do you know any companies that are hiring in D.C.? Well, hiring for what? Are you talking about D.C., Maryland, or Virginia? What department? What salary range? What do you do? Right? I have to make it a project status, because I've got to get all of that information out get it out from you. Instead, somebody can say, hey, this is Betty. I'm 50 years old. We had a great partnership when we worked at so-and-so. I want to let you know that I am transitioning. I'm looking for a position at Google, United Way. And I'd love it if we could get together for coffee. I know you've spent a lot of time in the nonprofit sector. Something like that. But make it easy for me to say, oh, wait a minute. I know Carrie Ann at so-and-so, or I know Dr. Weaver. I'd be happy to connect you. But also, if you're not finding that people are being responsive to you when you're reaching out, it may be the way you're reaching out, not giving them enough specifics. And the other piece, and it can happen with people when they're 50 plus, is you don't have any real relationships that you can leverage. Mm.
Betty, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate you listening. And we want to remind our listeners that you can attend our live broadcast. It's coming up on Wednesday. It's going to be a fascinating opportunity for you to get all kinds of information. It's at 1350 Oakey Street. It is at the City Winery. That's right inside the Old Love nightclub. Please register at whur.com if you'd like to attend. There are still a few seats left. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're still answering your questions during the course of our week-long career boot camp series. So please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation continuing on Sirius XM, Channel 141 in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. This is a special edition of the Insight segment as we kick off our week-long career boot camp series. We are helping you to get your career in shape, whether you're in corporate America, whether you are working in a day-to-day hourly wage, blue collar, pink collar, white collar, doesn't matter. This is a program you definitely need to listen to. Deborah T. Owens is my co-host here for this program all week. She'll be here this week. She's the founder and CEO of the Corporate Alley Cat. She's a partner for the important discussion this week. My guests tonight are Dr. Carrie Ann Hamilton, Senior Vice President and Brand Practice Leader for GMMB, a PR creative agency here in Washington. Also, Dr. Vanessa Weaver, CEO of Alignment Strategies. If you have a question, if you have a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Vanessa, how do you differentiate between a strategic relationship or an alliance and a friendship?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. And I think it's an important one because strategic relationships, and I think Deborah mentioned this earlier, it's about the intentionality of it. And for sometimes for multicultural people, we feel uncomfortable being kind of Machiavellian about how we're choosing and establishing relationships. But it really is about what is the intentional connection I'm prepared to make? And how does that connection help advance my interests as well as the interests of that individual? So it's about the intentionality and the deliberateness. You know, I am going to make and establish that relationship because it can drive something for me. And people do it every day in organizations. And I see us tend to kind of hesitate a little bit or hesitate a lot.
Well, let's call a spade a spade. I was going to say this is not a hesitating a little bit. For a lot of Black people, and I've heard them when I've had conversations with them over the many years, they say, I don't want my coworkers to know anything about me. And so as a result, they do not develop strategic alliances because they're afraid that it may get too close, too personal. They don't want you to know where they live, how many kids they have, any of that stuff.
Well, you know, you can have the alliance. You can have a strategic alliance and not be a relationship. But a relationship really means that you really do open up aspects of yourself and you're vulnerable. And I remember when I started my career with Procter & Gamble several years ago, and I had a white coach that was assigned to me. His name was Larry Wagner. And he was absolutely awesome. He's somewhere from Wyoming or something. And I was looking at this 6'3" white guy, and I was thinking, why in the heck did they assign him to be?
Because you have nothing in common.
I have nothing to be in common, right? And so Larry would work and work and work to create this relationship, had me over at his house, would take me, invite me to things in the community that I can network with other players. And I took advantage of all of it, but I did not do the same. I didn't reciprocate on my end with Larry.
So how did that impact the strategic alliance or the relationship?
Well, Larry told me he was tired of me taking advantage of him and making this a one-way street. Mm-hmm. He called me on it and he said, Vanessa, you know, I had a party and I didn't invite him. And it was like a big party and everybody talked about it in the company and I didn't invite him. And he called me in there and he said to me, you know, I've been working at this relationship for almost 2 years and I'm giving. I'm not getting a whole lot from you.
In other words, you're the texter and he's the phone caller.
I was shocked. Number one, I didn't think he could really get that upset and turn colors, but he did. And it taught me an invaluable lesson, because right then and there, I realized that the relationship really meant a lot to me. And I didn't want that relationship to mean a lot to me.
Well, that goes back to what I was saying before. How do you separate a strategic alliance with or from a relationship? I mean, where's the line? Because in Vanessa's example, I guess the person that she was dealing with just happened to be friendly, but not everyone is.
And invested.
Yeah. Right.
So one of the things that I wanted to share is the concept of supportive versus strategic relationships. And there's actually data out there that shows that people of color tend to have more supportive relationships than strategic relationships. So what does that mean? That means that Vanessa is a coworker of mine. She's somebody I can go and vent to and say, oh, these folks here are getting on my nerves. But when it comes time for me to go to the next level, to get in front of the right hiring manager and the right leader, she can't do any of that for me. So yes, you need your supportive people, but you also need those strategic people. Those are the people who are going to help you move throughout the organization. Your friends are great for a sounding board. It's also the difference between, as some people say, a mentor versus a sponsor. There's also data out there that says women, and I'm just going to add, I think professionals or people of color tend to be over-mentored and under-sponsored.
Let's talk about that. What's the difference between a sponsor and a mentor?
Okay. The difference between a mentor is there to guide you, to give feedback, to help steer you in the right direction. You need to be working on this. You need to get in front of these people. An advocate or a sponsor is someone who says, Vanessa, you need to be in marketing.
Right.
We've got a position that's going to be available in 3 months. I'm going to put you in that because that's right in line with how we see you growing with the organization. So a sponsor is someone in many organizations who can pick you up and put you in another position, or they have enough influence in the organization that they can get you in front of the right people and then influence those people to bring you along, whether that be a new position, a project, those types of things. So sometimes we tend to stay real comfortable with our mentors. We tend to stay very comfortable with our supportive relationships, but we don't really reach out to those people who can make a difference in their careers. And that's why a lot of people are frustrated. You've got to get out of your comfort zone as well.
So how do you get a sponsor, Carrie Ann?
So in my career, it's been really helpful to have both. Have a mentor. My mentors help me with esteem things. Okay, get feedback. Be a sounding board. In on the other hand, having sponsors, someone who can be in the room.
But how do you get one?
Yes. How did I get one? I'll mm-hmm. share my personal example. When I was at Howard University, I was young in my career. There were people, women in particular, mm-hmm. and some men on the cabinet. When I entered the cabinet, I I had some sense of my role, but not very clear about how do you prepare for a board meeting? How do you prepare for a cabinet meeting? How do you do a briefing? Mm-hmm. And so having a sponsor who would recognize potential, usually they do, and give you constructive feedback. Here's how you brief the president. Here's how you prepare an agenda for a board meeting. And they give you constructive feedback. Your mentor is going to prepare you to get to that place. Your sponsor will ensure that you consistently climb that ladder. Absent a sponsor, there are opportunities that you won't know about if they don't tell you. So one, you do your work, right? Mm-hmm. They see value in you, so you have to perform. And two, you communicate your interest, your pathway, where you want to go. You ask strategic questions. How do you do X, Y, and Z? How do you prepare? How do you gain the confidence and the techniques to do what you do so well? People like talking about themselves. So engage, ask the right questions, observe, listen, and at the right points, engage and say, I would really love to take you to coffee, or if you have a moment, I'd love to have our lunch together just to talk through how that meeting could, I could run that meeting more effectively next time, or I have ambitions around X or Y and would really love your counsel, really being vulnerable and saying, here are my interests and you can help me get there.
Now, you said something that I thought was interesting. I think, and it leads me to this. If you have a sponsor, someone who puts you in a position where you can, where certain things can happen for you, you are obligated to perform well, because if you don't and people know that you've been put in that position by the sponsor, you can't make them look bad.
Yeah, and it's interesting because your sponsor is not necessarily saying, oh, you must hire Carrie Ann. What you do, you make the job of your sponsor easier by performing, by coming ready, where you earn that position on your own. They're in the room when oh, this position is coming online. I know the perfect person we should consider. And I enter that conversation prepared, poised, with a track record of success that makes it easier for the sponsor to advocate on my behalf. But it really comes down to your own performance and demonstrating that value that you'd bring to that position.
I absolutely love what Carrie Ann said, because a lot of people don't realize what happens in the boardroom. So since we're being very honest here, a lot of professionals of color, people of color say, I don't want people all in my business. They were asking me what I did over the weekend. Why are they all in my business? Well, the reason is because they want to get to know you. If people don't know you, when your name comes up in the boardroom and they say, well, what about Vanessa? And everybody around the room is like, I don't know Vanessa. Do you know Vanessa? Well, what projects has she worked on? Vanessa's name is now off the list. Whereas when Carrie Ann's name comes up, Harold says, oh, Carrie Ann, I worked with her on that project and she was phenomenal. Oh, and somebody else says, yes, I saw her present and she did a great job with X, Y, and Z. So if the appropriate people don't know you, they don't know anything about you, they don't know how you can contribute, and oftentimes they don't even know what your next move, what you want your next move to be. So you've got to let people know that, hey, I'm interested in being a senior VP at some point, and here's why. So that people will know where to insert your name in the conversation to help you reach your career goals.
But it sounds also to me like this is a popularity contest, because I think skills notwithstanding, that everyone who is working, as I said, blue collar, pink collar, white collar, whether you're working in a successful dry cleaning business or whether you're working in a Fortune 500 company, there has to be a likability issue here. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, particularly people of color, and you're talking about when you are the only one or the first one, or we're talking about boardrooms where you walk in there and you've got the black job. You've got the human resources or the diversity job, and you all are shrugging. I'm serious.
No, it's interesting.
Yeah, because you walk into that room, you're the black person, you're the double minority, you're a woman, you're black, and everybody else in the room is white male. That is still happening.
I mean, you reach a point because, I mean, part of the strategic relationships, it really takes two to have the relationship. And one of the struggles that we are continually addressing in the private sector is really creating, a desire and interest and an accountability of leaders who are senior leaders to reach down and sponsor people of color. You know, when you look at the percentage of people of color that get sponsored versus those that are, say, Caucasian majority populations, it is a marked difference. And so it's not only because maybe we're not as effective in our approach, but the organization has to also create a culture and a climate where leadership are prepared and willing to sponsor other individuals. So, I mean, it's this push-pull kind of factor. And we know that organizations that are really effective, in having sponsors of, say, a white male sponsor or a white female sponsor sponsoring a person of color often have to set that as an expectation and also track and make sure that people are doing that.
Absolutely. And I can remember, just recently, 60 Minutes did a story about Salesforce where you had his words, not ours, a woke CEO who finally said, guess what? Let's do a strategic study and look at a pay equity between women and men, and found that there was a huge disparity. Years ago, Mattel, you know, the maker of Barbie, when they were talking about the folks who worked on the Barbie project, they were all white men. Mm-hmm. No women. We're talking about Barbie. Something to think about. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Strategic relationships as we kick off our week-long career boot camp series. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are continuing our discussion about strategic alliances and relationships within your career. Of course, we are kicking off a week-long career boot camp series helping you to get your career in shape. Carrie Ann, there was a point that you wanted to make before the break. Please go right ahead.
Right. This idea, really want to come back to this fundamental point that transparency breeds trust, right? And so you have to share some of yourself in a measured way. Obviously, you will not come undone at work and overshare, but sharing your intentions, where you want to go, sharing your interests can go a long way. So at GMMB, we have a number of initiatives. One is Plus Service, where people can identify an opportunity. For me, it's usually hunger and food insecurity, but for others, it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. You can sign up for Pride Month. There are other ways that you can touch people in the organization so they get to know you more intimately. You get to share your passion. Oh, why are you volunteering as part of the breast cancer screening? Oh, my mom unfortunately passed away from breast cancer, or is a two-time survivor. Or I really have seen up close growing up in Jamaica, I've seen quite a bit around poverty and food insecurity and really want to make a difference in my community. For whatever the reason, you can connect and share stories and realize you have more in common with your colleague who may not look like you, they've grown up in another part of the country or another part of the world. That could be a point of connection. This is about building human relationships, sharing your intentions. Where do you want to go? How do you want to grow? What new projects do you want to get engaged in? And again, informally, as conversations come up, as people are in rooms, thinking about who is the right person for this opportunity. Oh, I know the person who's perfect for it.
What do you do when those relationships take a turn? Because you touched on that earlier, Vanessa, when you were talking about your colleague. Mm-hmm. When something happens, when they turn sour, something you said, something you did.
Didn't do.
or didn't do. how do you address that? And that's, I know that's broad and vague because it could have been anything.
Well, I'll tell you, with Larry, with the situation I had with my sponsor, I had to really step back and take a pause and identify what I owned in that.
Yeah,
I
mean, was it there that made you not?
Well, I think that, you know, Larry was Caucasian and I was African American, and I am African American. I still am.
Let me look real close.
You still are. Yeah.
And I just, in my mind, did not feel or did not believe that a relationship with a person that was Caucasian could really be genuine, sincere, and that strong. You know what I mean? I had to really challenge my own assumptions about how I could connect with people who were different from me, either by race or ethnicity or gender, whatever. So I had to do some introspection. And then once I did that, I went back and I talked to Larry and thanked him, number one, for giving me the gift of his anger, the gift of his feedback, and the fact that I had to sit back and really introspect. And I told him what I became aware of, that, you know, there were some aspects of my own blackness that at that stage in my life, I wasn't comfortable with owning and celebrating. Mm-hmm. And I see that to be the case with a lot of us, that, you know, we try to, you know, we say we're with it and all that, but in many ways we're not. And so really getting ready ourselves to be vulnerable, as Deborah is saying, and to be willing to have those real conversations with people is really how sponsorships develop, because sponsors connect with people that they have a feeling at a visceral, you know, I say at a gut level. They get a sense of who you are and what you stand for. And when you try to mask that, people see that. Eventually, it doesn't sustain itself.
Was he receptive to it?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. It took our relationship to a level so much deeper. And why? Because I opened myself to really be able to explore aspects of a relationship and have conversations with him that I never had, or talk about, you know, how I saw the organization, how I really saw it and how I really felt about it versus being politically correct.
And I think that brings me back to what I was saying before, because let's just say relationships, mm-hmm. personal or strategic. Mm-hmm. I find it hard to separate the two, because if there is not some warmth, if there is not some connection, then it may fail. When I remember back in the 90s, I got to Buffalo, New York, my co-anchor, completely different politics, obviously different gender, different geography, different education. She grabbed me by the hand and said, let's go get coffee. That coffee and donuts lasted literally from 9 a.m. until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We sat there literally for hours. That may have been a strategic relationship, but it was highly personal. It was highly, it was warm.
It's probably transformative for you too.
Yeah, it was.
One of the things that I want to say is absolutely strategic relationships are deep relationships. You have a real connection. They are authentic. That's why they're long term. But here's the other thing. They don't happen overnight. So that walk for M&Ms may eventually lead to coffee, may eventually lead to lunch, may eventually lead to me working on one of her projects. So they are very deep, authentic relationships, and you have to let people know a little bit about you. Harold, if you had two people, same identical skills, one of them you'd had the opportunity to get to know, you knew a little bit about their family, they were just personable, you enjoyed working with them, Carrie Ann vouched for that person, and Vanessa was like, oh, she is fantastic. And then there was this other person who was equally as qualified, but you just didn't know anything about this person. Who do you want on your team?
Well, obviously, like you're suggesting, this is, as we said in the beginning of this conversation, it is about not what you know, but who you know,
and
what they know about you.
And it's not always how hard you've worked. Yeah. That is sometimes the smaller piece of it. I think as professionals or people of color, we get the technical. I don't see people who can't do their job. I see people who
do their job well, but they don't have any relationships and they don't have any influence. And to Vanessa's point, I just want to stress that I know a lot of organizations recognize the importance to develop their diverse talent and to put special programs together, but you can't wait on that organization. It is not that organization's job to make that happen for you.
What do you mean by that? You can't wait on that organization.
So you can't
wait. So you have to take some initiative in terms of developing those relationships.
Absolutely. You've got to raise your hand. You've got to get to know people. Some people say, well, I'm an introvert. Then you don't have to get to know people as a group. Do a one-on-one. But at the end of the day, you are the only person who is going to drive your career. The other thing that we talk a lot about is people say, you know, they always want to go to the bar after a meeting. I'm tired of going to the bar. They're not my friends. I don't want to hang out with them. Or I have two kids at home. I don't have time to hang out after every meeting. This is where the strategic and intentional part comes in. You don't have to hang out at every happy hour. You have to hang out at the ones that are going to be best for you. If I know my senior VP is going to be there and I'm trying to connect with them on a more informal basis, then absolutely that's one I'm going to try to do. If this is one that they have every week and it's a hit or miss, you don't have to do that. But I just want to encourage people to raise your hand, to volunteer for the right projects, not just any project, and to let people know what you need to thrive in that organization. Because so many people, when we talk about how the relationship goes sour, so many people lose out because Carrie Ann was my only contact. She was my advocate. Yeah. I didn't know anybody else in the organization. Well, guess what? Carrie Ann left and she didn't take me with me.
Right.
She didn't take me with her.
That's
and
a
guess
really
what?
Good point.
That's real. And guess what? Now I'm in an organization and I don't have any support. So a lot of people will say, I got a great relationship with your manager. Well, that's great, but your manager is not going to hire you for that next level position.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, go on, Carrie.
I was going to say, you make a really, really good point. So the person with whom I report recruited me to the organization. And I remember early in the relationship, I know without a shadow of a doubt that this person is truly invested in me, the whole person, mm-hmm. not just how I perform my job, but how I am doing and how I am growing. But always hasten to say, I'm not your only champion, which made me realize, oh, that's good to know, but also deepening other relationships.
Absolutely.
It is not just important to strengthen the relationship with the person you feel closest to, with the person who may just be your supervisor, but to spread that love and go beyond happy hour. And we've been culturally sensitive in our conversations. We know for a fact, and the research shows, that people of color, particularly young people of color, may not feel comfortable doing a happy hour or may not feel comfortable drinking with people they don't know. These are things I hear from my mentees all the time. I'm not a big drinker, but you could ask someone out for coffee in the morning. If you have children, you could decide to, and you have an earlier schedule, you could meet for breakfast. And so there are other points in the day that you can touch base. Find that point in time that you can make those connections, because it may not be happy hour, and happy hour may isolate people who just don't like drinking alcohol. But find other points of entry. Don't use "I don't do happy hour" as a barrier to building solid relationships.
I also want to say that we did a study and we found that that one of the most underutilized resources around getting sponsors are your media supervisors. And many times your media supervisors have access to a network that you don't have. And so enrolling your supervisor, getting that person to support you and getting a sponsor can be a real effective strategy.
Well, I think this is a good way to end tonight's conversation, but we've got a lot to talk about during the course of this week. We plan on getting to as much as we can, and we certainly want you to join us on Wednesday at the City Winery, 1350 Oakey Street, for the live broadcast of The Daily Drum, where we're going to be talking about all of this information and much, much more. You wanted to say something really, really quick.
Really quick. I want to encourage everybody to go to CorporateAlleyCat.com
www.dailyjumo.com/bootcamp/. I am each day we are putting additional resources on this page. So we will have lots of resources around strategic relationships this evening, so you will be able to continue to learn and grow and build those relationships.
That information will be on our website on whur.com. I need to get out of here, but don't forget you can register at whur.com for this live broadcast event. It's on Wednesday, the 27th. I want to thank Dr. Carrie-Anne Hamilton, Dr. Vanessa Weaver, of course, Deborah Owens. We're going to see you throughout this week. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, June 25th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.